Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. I am your host, Marie-Pierre, and for all my English friends out there, you can call me Marie. I am a registered dietitian with a background in psychology. My passion in life is to help individuals heal their relationship with food and their bodies. If you're tired of dieting and tired of restriction, you are at the right place. I'm hoping that this podcast will help and support you as you heal your own relationship with food and your body, and give you the tools, the resources, and the knowledge that you need to finally ditch the diets. Every week, you will be hearing from guest experts and myself on all things food, body, and mind. I am so happy that you're here, and I cannot wait to support you on your journey. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. Today we have an awesome guest. It's actually the second time we record this podcast because I failed. But Carly is here with us. Carly is one of the program participants. So hey Carly, thank you for being back.
My pleasure.
You are so kind. I like realized that I don't know what happened with the recording. I was like, oh no.
Hey, but it happens. Technology.
Yeah, let's blame technology, not me, as being not very good with it. Well, I'm happy that you're here. So today we're going to talk a little bit about your journey with food, with your body, where you are, well, where you were and where you are now. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about your journey with food and body, like starting from younger self to when you decided to join the program?
So it's quite the journey. From day zero to now. When I was younger, I was pretty much a child, enjoying child things, not thinking very much about body up until probably about, I want to say around when I was like maybe seven, something around there. And then after that, I would say that's when it kind of started to begin to be a thing of thinking about how I look, thinking about what I'm eating, what other people are eating, you know, like recognizing that and trying, I guess, sort of start to control my own body.
Yeah. And when you said like I was doing child things and whatnot, and it started at this age, I'm like, okay, like teenage years. But no, like 7 years old is really young to start thinking about food in our bodies.
Yeah, it was young. And looking back, you kind of think, you try and pinpoint the time and you're just like, it's kind of difficult to tell exactly when, because, you know, it's been a long time. But up until that point, it was like, I would say it was minor. Like it wasn't 100% like obsessive. I would say the obsessive part of thinking about body, thinking about what I'm eating, all that stuff, wanting to lose weight, wanting to change, be the next, you know, Jillian Michaels, wanted this, that. It really was in like the high school time when I noticed like there was a lot of other people that were smaller, the popular kids, you know, and it was tough because it's like, I mean, I kind of didn't really, I don't want to say I didn't care, but at the same time I did care. It was kind of like that, I'm just going to wear my baggy sweatpants and just like be that, like, you know, sweatpant person. I don't know.
Yeah, like hide a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I started being very much more self-conscious and it was tough. And then throughout college, it got like worse, I would say, because, you know, looking back at memories that keep popping up on Facebook and stuff from high school when I'm in college and I'm in nursing now, and you know, I've gotten a whole other like aspect thrown into it, like being told by the medical world, you know, like the sort of practice what you preach, not necessarily told you should practice what you preach, but essentially
heavily implied,
implying it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then that constantly is in the back of my head. And to this day, I'm still like working on it. Yeah. Because it's definitely hard. And I mean, it's so tough because in like the medical world, because you're bigger, you are now considered, like, you're diagnosed, like, there's actually, you're diagnosed obese because of a BMI scale that's completely just irrelevant in my, you know, my eyes. I'm just like, it's irrelevant.
When starting up, like growing up, you started pretty young, like having concerns around food in your body, and then high school came, and then being a teenage girl, actually boys too, like comparing yourselves to others, and then seeing people in different body than ours. And I think there's comes like a point where there's more of like that, like diet culture of like, have you tried this? And I'm doing that. And like a lot of those like comparison that like sneak in, that makes us like, yeah, like you said, like self-conscious around our bodies, which is super hard. And then wanting to hide and wearing like different types of clothes. Yeah. And then like continuing that into like, you got into a degree like nursing where it's extremely weight centric still, right? Very similar to like becoming a dietitian where it's like extremely weight centric and like everything is like, well, if you don't know, then like, it's probably the weight. Which what we know now is that like, this is lazy medicine. It's not true, but it is very difficult to kind of like heal that for sure.
It's a very closed off system currently. I mean, there's some leadway, I think.
Yeah. There and you can be a leader in that too.
I could be, maybe that's the next project.
Yeah. Well, thank you like so much for sharing. Like that's definitely very difficult. And like when you were 7, like what happened that you were like, wait, my body's not okay. Like it needs to be different.
I honestly think it was just, you know, from movies and like seeing things and maybe even also like at school, like it was everywhere. I just feel like you just hear other girls start talking about it. And then you just kind of, it's like kind of like Adam and Eve. I hate to bring up like religion, but it's like Adam and Eve. Like before they took that apple, they had no idea that they were naked. They were not self-conscious. They were just rocking it. But then they ate that apple that the serpent, you know, said, and bam, now they're all self-conscious. It's exactly like that, you know, like you hear diet culture and then it's just like the serpent that like explodes.
I don't know enough about religion, but I like that you're comparing diet culture to like that evil ass serpent.
Yes.
That is a pretty good thing. Yeah. No, it's crazy too, like starting from that really young age, and it kind of builds up, right? Because and what we learn, like even through the program, like what we focus on, we see more. So once we have this idea that our body's inadequate, then your brain's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, let me show you in all these ways, like to like support what you're thinking, which makes it super, super difficult.
It is.
So then you're going through nursing school. When did you decide that you're like, okay, like there must be a better way, like this is not working for me? Or was there anything that you were doing? Were you like trying different diets? Like how was that for you?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've tried not all of them, but pretty near. I feel like I've tried, you know, going to the, like there's in Ottawa, there's this, I can't even remember what it's called, Dr. Bishop or something like that. You go and do weight check-ins and puts you on a strict diet and all this different things. That didn't work. It clearly didn't work, but that was like, I think one of the main ones I started with in high school. And then it kind of transformed into those, you know, 30-day challenges with personal trainers.
Yeah.
And then actually sticking with a personal trainer, you know, exercising excessively, probably on the verge of a, you know, eating disorder 100%, because I was eating things that were bland and I could only eat with mustard. I mean, I love mustard, but don't get me wrong. It's just, I don't want it on everything all day, every day. And, you know, just being super strict with everything and like feeling guilty about, you know, missing a meal that I was supposed to have or whatever, cheating, you know,
quote unquote.
So doing those, like, and that's when I really realized, I was like, you know what, after I stopped being with that personal trainer, I was like, I'm really not happy, because even at like the size that I thought was like what I wanted to be, I always thought it was like a continuous, I have to be smaller. I have to keep going. Yeah. So it was unhealthy. And then I realized, like, afterwards, and whenever I saw kind of your program being launched and stuff, I was like, you know, this is really interesting. I'm like, I'm gonna check it out, because why not? I've tried everything else in the world, and it was unhealthy.
Yeah. And I love what you said too, like around body image, like this belief that, like, it's probably the biggest lie that diet culture sells us. Like, hey, you have body discomfort. If you are thinner though, if you get this body, then you'll be happy.
Yeah.
But one, not everybody is able to get there, because that's not what our body's meant to do. Like, or no, but then if you do get there through, like, again, like disordered means, you're like, okay, but I'm still not happy, and it's never enough. And then we're like on this like hamster wheel of like, we need to keep running. We can't stop, because this promise is just like a not true.
Yeah. It's a broken promise. It's one of those, I don't know what the word is, but it's the point where it's like, you're so obsessive in like two domains of what people may consider health, which is nutrition and exercise, and completely the rest of what is considered a pillar of health, you just scrap.
Yeah.
Like, you're not sleeping well, even though you thought maybe, oh, exercising that much, it should tire me out, I should sleep well. No.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's like we hyper focus on what you eat and how you move. Those are the two things that, like, diet culture has made us believe that we have control, that will inevitably control our weight. Whereas, like, what we know is that, well, but health is so much more than that. Like, it's a huge range of different things that lead to that. And just our nutrition and fitness is part of it, but it's not all of it.
It's not all of it. And it's like, there's so much more.
Yeah. So then when you like decided to join the program, like at that point, you're like, cool, not happy, need to try something new. And the program is something new, because it has nothing to do with dieting. Like, what were your thoughts like wanting to join?
I mean, I was honestly scared.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is something completely different.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sick and tired of dieting. I've spent XYZ amount of money on, you know, different personal trainers and gym memberships that I didn't really like going to, because I was overdoing it. So then it made me not want to go to the gym. So all those like things, I was just fed up. And I was like, you know what? It's worth it, because I think because it's different, it's going to be something good. I don't know. I had a good feeling.
Yeah. A little gut feeling.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So then you join, which is awesome, and had been like loving having you part of the program. And how has your journey been since then? So you joined and you actually completed the 6-month program now.
Yes.
How was your experience? How has your relationship to food and your body evolved?
Honestly, I feel so different from when I started. I think it was April or March.
And
May. Yeah. Somewhere around there. It's a blur. 2020.
2020 is like this big blur.
Every day. When I started, I was definitely like on the hesitant side, still scared. But throughout the program, I saw like a change in myself, where I was like, you know what? I'm giving myself more freedom. I'm giving myself more, I guess, allowing my intuition to speak more. And I'm a very intuitive person. So it's like doing that really made, just being more intuitive, help me become more happy with myself.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense at all, because of how I feel that, you know, if I'm listening to myself, then it's like, I'm appreciating myself. And
yeah. Nah, it's really cool, because it's like, prior to, it was like a lot of the things that health behaviors you were engaging in were very external. I'm like, okay, what does this diet or thing tell me I should eat? What is this like person telling me how I should train, or this video or whatever?
Yeah.
And then within the program, like, it becomes like you're already intuitive, but you're tuning into that own like power of yours and being like, cool, like, what do I need? What do I want? How should I nourish my body? How should I move? Like, what are the things that actually make me feel good, and not just like, let me look this way and like cross my fingers that this will make me like feel better.
Plus torture. Don't forget the torture.
Plus, like, yeah, it's like not fun.
It's not like fun.
It's not a great time, you know?
No. But the program 100%, like, it helped me tune into myself and really like self-reflect. I find that that's important to do. And, you know, when we get into the habit of everyday life and drenched in diet culture, it's really hard to really like tune into yourself and actually like self-reflect.
Yeah.
And we don't even think about it.
Well, we typically like don't have that energy to think about it. Cause if you're spending all your time trying to micromanage what you're putting into your body or thinking about food or like hating on yourself, like it's hard to have the mental capacity to do other things and like reconnect and like start enjoying, you know, life again.
It's like, hey, there's more to life than, you know, diet culture. What?
You're like, wait, what? Like this
it's
is
like
awesome.
You know, you walk through this like barrier and you're in this enclosed like very strict gray world, and then you open the doors and it's like colorful and flowers and you're just like spinning around happy.
Isn't that like what, it's not Dr. Oz, what is it, the Wizard of Oz? Hey. Isn't that what happens in that movie?
I know.
I love that. So what was your favorite part of the program when you're like reflecting back?
My favorite part, I would say, is the community and being a part of like-minded people and support of people that are going through the same challenges, the same difficulties, and being able to share your stories with them and have a really respected and like comfortable space to talk about it.
Yeah. And I feel like we've been so blessed. And like, I say this always, but like, the community is so great. And everyone who is part of the program, I think, are like, you know, devoted to growth, to themselves and to learning and to supporting one another, which creates a really safe space and a comfortable space to allow ourselves to be like vulnerable and like, hey, today was a shit day. Like this happened, like getting the support that you require, which is just so awesome.
It really is. And I mean, the program itself, like all the different activities as well, is great, but like, I really, really appreciated going through those steps with people. Like I find it really, really helps.
Yeah. And I think that's a big part. Like, you know, I also do one-on-one practice, which I love, and it's great for a lot of people. But like the thing with a program is that sense of community, like learning from others helps. Knowing that others are going through it, like diet culture is very much isolating of like, this is your fault. You're not working because of you, makes you feel like everybody else is succeeding, but you, whereas like in a program like this, when you're like, no, we build on connection and like the community aspect, because a lot of people are going through this, and the healing process when we're doing it with other people just kind of like speeds up the process too, especially when we get to the point of like, if someone else is struggling and you're able to offer support, like for you, what that does is just like reaffirms in your mind and validates that like, yeah, this is it. Like when you're able to support someone else and teach with someone else, like that's just so awesome.
It is.
So, so awesome. Yeah. And it's super cool too. Like, I think you participated in every session.
I did.
You showed up for yourself. Right. But that's so important too, right? Like, cause you could, the knowledge is like everywhere, but you like showed up for you, which is awesome.
Even on the bad days.
Even on the bad days. And it's cool because we do like victories every time we start. And like on bad days, it's like, today the victory is that I'm here. That's enough for this week. Which is good. Like you keep showing up even on the hard times, because leaving diet culture is not an easy task. Right? Because we are surrounded by it, but it's also what we know. So although it's not the best, it's super familiar. So going to something else that may be better is still like uncomfortable, because you're like, but I don't know. Like I've never tried.
Yeah. Right? But you never know until you try. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So what is your biggest takeaway from doing the program?
My biggest takeaway is, you know, how much power that and people don't even, well, most, maybe hopefully now a lot of people are realizing it, but most people don't realize that they're under diet culture spell, and they think that that's just completely normal. And I find that it's just going through the program and going through the motion, the steps, the different parts, having the support from the community, like it really helped realize that, you know, wow, how brainwashing diet culture really is, and how liberating it is to actually take you and put you first and listen to yourself, because ultimately your body knows what you need and what you should do for yourself.
Yeah. That's such a good like insight too of like, there's I have a quote that says from Naomi Wolf, like, a culture fixated on female thinness is not an obsession about female beauty, but an obsession about female obedience. Dieting is the most potent political sedative in a woman's history. A quietly mad population is a tractable one. Which is like, yeah, it's like, to me, I'm like, it makes so much sense, right? Like, when we are so obsessed with food and our body and it's normalized, like, this is what people do. Mm-hmm. It really inhibits us to like be there, like really focus on what is really important in this world and where we actually need to put the work, because we're just like, ugh, but not until my body is X, Y, and Z way. Like, it really keeps us stuck.
And it's really like, it's terrible, because it's a form of control and trying to suppress people. And that's not cool. You should not be trying to suppress anybody. You should be trying to bring people up and away.
Can you be like the next president?
I wish. Yeah. Hi, Donald Trump, get out of here.
Oh, goodness. Okay. And like, my last question for you is, how is your relationship to food and body now? Like, how would you describe it today?
Definitely a lot better than it was when I first started, but 100% not perfect. And perfect in itself, you can't attain. So it's just a work in progress. And I think it's a continuum where you just kind of, you're going to have bad days, you're going to have good days. You just have to know how to deal with the bad days and how to embrace the good days.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much, because I think that's like the biggest difference to a diet culture, right? There's no like, once you do this, you will have the best life ever. And like all of this stuff and like your relationship to food and body will be healed for life. Like, no, the reality is like, yeah, it's much better, which is awesome. Like, you're able to eat all the foods, which is awesome. Like, there's no more restriction. That's awesome. And there can still be days that are harder. There can still be days, because we live in diet culture, that feel more like heavy. We're like, man, or like in your profession where you're like, ugh, it was super about weight today. And that kind of like, you know, like it's a lot of work to be like, okay, like, what do I stand? What do I believe? What is my role? Like, am I advocating or am I disengaging today? Like, although it's like really great, I think there's always going to be that work as long as we live in diet culture.
100%.
Right? 100%.
It's always going to be there. It's just a matter of how you're going to deal with it.
Yeah. And we learn, like, we learn to become resilient. We learn to be able to do our lovely reframes.
They're so hard, but they're so worth it.
They're so good. And we learn to like self-care, like in those times, right? Of like when diet culture rises, when there is something that is difficult, I feel like we just, because we become so intuitive, because we've learned to really learn to ourselves, we're able to better respond.
Exactly.
Right. What would you say to someone who is like, maybe where you were, like at the beginning, like scared, like, oh my God, like, is this it? Like, should I not? Like, what's going on? Like, what is this new method? Like, what's happening? Like, what would you tell someone who's like on the fence, just like, ooh, not sure?
Take the leap. Take it. Just go for it. I know you might be questioning it and you might think it's crazy to do, but just do it. You're going to thank yourself so much and you're going to feel so liberated. Honestly, just screw diet culture and go for it.
You're like, go girl. Yeah. And it's also okay. Like, I find like that's everything you said. Yes. I'm like, we need to, right? Like, we need to take that lift, and it's always going to feel different and it's always going to bring discomfort because it's different. And then bringing that with like self-compassion of like, you're allowed to be scared. It's okay that it's scary. Like we're not trying to take that away. And even really for you, like, right. Like, trying something new every time it's hard and it's scary. Mm-hmm. But scary does not need to be negative. Like, it can actually be a really great thing.
Exactly. And discomfort, sometimes it means that you're just going through a change that's just hard for you to accept, because you've been so like involved in diet culture that you're just, it feels like you're going against your beliefs and your system, because it kind of ingrained and like intertwined in yourself. So it's like pulling yourself away from that. It's scary. It's hard because that's what you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we build new beliefs and you build your tribe of people who are going through that with you as well, which is so valuable. Okay. My real last question for real. So we talked about how your relationship to food and body is different now. How would you say like your life has changed? So your life prior to you and like now, like has it, because I know we've talked about this, how it's like, it's food and body, but also it's like this like iceberg of all these other things that it impacts. Like, how would you describe your life before and after?
Before, obsessive over really small things. If you think about it, nutrition and exercising the way I was just a small little part of what it is to be healthy. Mm-hmm. So I was obsessed over the small details, if you think about it. And so now I have more time for me. I have more time for wanting to better myself, thinking about, you know, furthering my education, thinking about, you know, for future jobs, different things like that. Like, I have time. I'm not so engulfed by those obsessions. So I'm free. I'm a free woman. But you could be a free man too.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Like, just the freedom of time is huge, of time and energy to be able to do the things that like life is really about.
Appreciating right? every, like, and if 2020 hasn't taught us anything but this, is that it's not the best body you want. It's not the materialistic things you want. Sure, they might cause some pleasure in the moment and you might be happy about it for a small little time, but it's not what makes life, I don't know how to say it, but
like it's worth living. Yeah. Like when the day on your deathbed, no one will be like, hey, Carly, you had a real nice car and like your body in 2020, you know.
Exactly. Like, you're not going to think of that. You're going to think of all the people you interacted with, the ones that you become close friends with, the relationships you had, your family, whatever you call family, you're going to think of that and your experiences that you had as a life. Because if you can, like, over your life, if you just think, oh, if I get all the money in the world, if I get the perfect body that I think is perfect, in quotation, you get the dream car, the dream this, the dream that, doesn't guarantee that you're going to be happy. Yeah, there's more to life than that. And there's more to life than diet culture.
Everything you said, I'm like nodding the whole time. I'm like, because it's true. It's like those things that we think may bring pleasure, or joy, but then when we can like really dive deeper and then also understanding like, this part, I just want to say, I know I'm adding a little bit, but I just want to say, like, if for you, you think that having a different body is what will bring joy, like, this is not like against you or anything like that. It's just understanding where that belief comes from.
Yeah.
Right. Like the belief that we have around, like, and like, I think we all grew up in it. I'm like, oh, but like, we need to control our weight and this needs to happen. Like, if you think that, it's not against you. And when we say anti-diet, it's not anti-dieters, it's anti-diet, like the culture that makes us believe that that must be the ultimate goal. But when we get to the other side, when we're no longer dieters and we can see that and be like, man, it's pretty messed up that you're spending all these years trying to do this instead of living. Exactly. Right? Like, that's really what we're referring to.
Exactly. Not dieters by any means, like, because I was a dieter, so I would not want to talk to myself this way.
Right.
I would want to be compassionate with myself because I'm just stuck in a system and I don't know any better. That's how it was before.
Yeah.
And then now I have put myself in an awesome program where I was able to see things a different way.
Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time today to talk with me and tell us about your story, because stories like this are just really inspiring, right? Especially when we are stuck in diet culture and we're like, ugh, is there a better way? Like, maybe I'll just try like keto again and we'll see, like,
oh, those fat bums.
Oh gosh. Anyways, but all that to say, thank you so much for taking the time to share. And let's go through our speed round of questions. I don't remember what your answers were last time, so this is going to be fun again.
I don't know.
What is your favorite food?
Okay, I think this is going to be the same because it never changes really. I love fajitas ever since I was a kid. I just love fajitas. Every birthday, I was like, Ma, I'm having fajitas. Get them ready.
Amazing. Amazing. Love that. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
This may change because I feel like my superpower wishes become different every single day. Okay, let me think about that because I was going to say something like, no, I don't want to get more done in a day. I think I would have to say I would like to teleport. That might be what I said.
Especially in COVID time, because you could teleport to an isolated beach.
Exactly. And you wouldn't have to have any contact tracing on the airport and the airplane.
Yeah.
You just zoom, I'm on a beach.
I think that'd be awesome. What is your favorite way to self-care?
This also might be different than what I said, because I am always finding new things that I'm liking. But definitely, I love to take baths and have some, bath salts with different essential oils, have a candle burning, maybe every once in a while, a glass of red wine, really bubble bath even, bubble bath.
The whole thing.
The whole thing, the whole shabam.
I love that. Okay, and last question for you, what does balance mean to you?
I know I babbled last time about this one, but balance to me means just finding an equilibrium for everything. So knowing that, kind of accepting that there's going to be good and bad days, but there's a balance of everything in life, even in the human body, there's, that homeostasis, and the balance throughout every system, it's just keeping your, it's hard to say. It really is.
It's a hard question.
It's a good question.
But that makes sense. Finding balance in everything that we do, right? Yeah. And that balance can look different for everyone. Exactly. And it's just finding what for you feels like your balance.
Exactly. And there's balance in everything.
Yeah.
Everything possible. There's a stress balance. You don't want to be too stressed. You don't want to be less so minimally stressed, because equal ways you can end up with bad things happening. That's just one example, but there's many. You undersleep. It's bad.
Yeah. No, I love that. Everything you're saying, it's just finding a balance through everything. And that's definitely how I see it too. A balance between food and psychology and how what we eat, how we want to feel, everything that comes with it. It's always a fluid relationship between all, which is super cool.
100%. Fluid, and it's individual.
Yes, personalized just for you. Well, thank you again so much for doing this podcast with me. I value you so much. Your story, again, so inspiring, and I know it's going to inspire a lot of people. So I want to, again, acknowledge you for sharing. It's vulnerable to share, and I'm so glad that you took the time today to share with us.
It is my pleasure, and thank you so much for honestly changing my life and putting me on the right direction.
Oh, you're adorable. Thank you so much.